got the right anymore to ask what happens next.
On the contrary. We are going back to France without delay.
Oui.
Of course. You know very well you can't afford to let Papa Poirot out of your sight.
We crossed the channel by the morning boat and went straight back to the Hotel des Bains. A letter had been left for Poirot at the reception desk.
Dear Monsieur Poirot, if you get this, I beg of you to come to my aid. I have no one to turn to. And at all costs, Jack must be saved. I implore you on my knees to help us. Martha Daubray.
You'll go?
At once.
I was in despair. I had no idea what to do. They won't even let me visit Jacques in prison. And I'm going mad. Is it true what they say, that he doesn't deny the crime?
I fear so, mademoiselle.
But it's impossible. He couldn't have done it. I don't believe it.
No, neither do I believe it, mademoiselle.
But then why doesn't he speak? I don't understand.
Perhaps because he is screening someone.
Screening someone? Do you mean his mother? I suspected her from the very beginning. Who inherits all that vast fortune? She does. It is easy to wear widow's weeds and play the hypocrite.
Mademoiselle, if we are to work together, we must have things clear. First, I will ask you a question.
Yes, monsieur?
Are you aware of your mother's real name? Ah, there. No, no, no. Calm yourself, Petite. I see that you do know. Now, a second question. Did you know who Monsieur Renault really was?
Monsieur Renault?
Ah, I see you do not know that. Then I shall explain a few of the facts to you, but I must be brief. We have to go to Saint-Omer to be present when Jacques is brought before the court.
Please save him, monsieur. I love him so. Save him. Save him.
Renault! Do you deny that you were in Merlinville on the night of the crime?
I have told you that I was in Cherbourg.
He was a changed man. His cheeks had fallen in and there were deep black circles round his eyes. He made no attempt to defend himself. It was obvious to me that his only concern was to conceal anything that might incriminate Bella.
I have no alternative but to commit you for trial.
Monsieur Lotte, I swear that I did not kill my father.
Monsieur le juge! Monsieur le juge!
How dare you disturb the sitting of the court?
There is a lady here who says...
Who says what? This is highly irregular. Get out!
But a slender figure, dressed all in black, her face hidden by a long veil, had made her way into the courtroom.
You are the juge d'instruction, Monsieur Horté.
She raised her veil, and I was seized with fear. But though as like her as two peas, this was not Cinderella. It was the face I had seen in the photograph Poirot had found in Jack Renault's room.
My name is Bella Duveen. I wish to give myself up. For the murder of Monsieur Renault.
There is a letter for you, mon ami. I suspect it is from your little acrobat.
My friend, you will know all by the time you get this. Nothing that I can say will move Bella. She has gone to give herself up. You will know now that
I deceived you, and that where you gave me trust, I repaid you with lies. But once I knew that you thought I was Bella and that you intended to save me, I knew I had to use you to help me save her. So I went on lying. But as soon as Bella read in the paper that Jack had been arrested, it was all up. I'm very tired. I can't write anymore.
Dulcie Duveen. And you mean to say you knew all along?
Yes, my friend.
Why didn't you tell me?
To begin with, I could hardly believe it conceivable that you could make such a mistake. The sisters are very alike, but by no means incapable of distinguishment.
Why didn't you tell me that night in the hotel in Coventry?
You were rather high-handed in your methods. You did not give me a chance. And I was a little hurt at your want of faith in me.
But where am I to find her? There's no address on the letter. There's a French stamp, that's all.
No. Do not excite yourself. Leave it to Papa Poirot. I will find her for you as soon as I have a few minutes. Ah, Monsieur Jacques. My heartiest congratulations.
I had to come and see you. What's going to happen to Bella? I went through all that to protect her, and now it's all no use.
If I were you, I should not distress myself unduly. The French courts are very lenient to youth and beauty and the crime passionnel.
I've treated her shamefully. I should have told her the truth after I met Marthe, but I was too much of a coward.
Could you tell us exactly what did happen on that terrible evening?
Well, as I told you, I came from Cherbourg to see Marthe. The train was late, and I decided to take a shortcut across the links. Then I heard a strange cry. It wasn't loud, a sort of choke and gasp. I came round the corner of a bush. In the moonlight, I saw a figure lying face downwards with a dagger sticking in his back. Then I looked up and saw her. She was looking at me as though she saw a ghost. All expression seemed frozen out of her face by horror. And she turned and ran.
And afterwards?
I thought I'd better get away as fast as I could. I went back to Cherbourg.
Thank you. There is something you should know. Your mother has regained consciousness. I am about to go to the village Geneviève. Will you come with us?
I will come, but I would like to ask a favor of you.
Whatever you wish.
How would it be if you went on first to break the news to Mother that I'm free?
While you break it in person to Mademoiselle Marthe. Of course, by all means. But let us be off.
When we got to the villa, Poirot insisted on going up to see Madame Renaud alone, while I paced about the salon. It was some time before he reappeared, looking unusually grave.
I would hardly have credited it, but women are very unpredictable.
What has happened?
I fear we are in for serious trouble. Madame Renaud...
Here are Jack and Mart. We came as quickly as we could.
It is better. You should not go up. Your mother is very upset.
But I must
see her. No, Monsieur Jacques.
But Jacques and I...
In any case, do not take Mademoiselle with you. And if you do insist on going up...
I thank you for your good offices, Monsieur Poirot. But I will make my own wishes clear.
Mother.
I am no mother of yours. You are no son of mine. From this day and hour... I renounce you.
But Mother, what have I done?
Your father's blood is on your head. You thwarted and defied him over this girl. And by your heartless treatment of another girl, you brought about his death. Tomorrow, I intend to take such steps as shall make it certain. You shall never touch a penny of his money. Make your way in the world as best you can with the help of a girl who is the daughter of your father's bitterest enemy.
Slowly and painfully, she went back up the stairs. Jack Renaud swayed and nearly fell.
The events of the last few days have proved too much for him. Now, where can we take him?
To the Villa Marguerite. We will look after him, Maman and I.
A doctor was sent for, who prescribed perfect rest and quiet, and advised someone to sit up with Jack. But I knew that Marta would do that anyway. Poirot and I went back to the Hotel des Bains.
Has an English lady, a Miss Robinson, arrived?
Yes, monsieur. She's in the little salon.
Good. Come along, Hastings.
But who on earth is Miss Robinson?
Oh, go on, mon ami. Do you think I wish to trumpet abroad in Merlinville the name of Duvigne?
Cinderella.
Thank you, monsieur Poirot.
Now, mes enfants, for the moment we have no time for sentiment. There is work ahead of us. Mademoiselle, were you able to do what I asked you?
Here it is.
That's the dagger that... I thought you said you threw it in the sea.
Très bien. I am very pleased with you. Now, go now and rest yourself, mademoiselle. Hastings and I have work to do. You shall see him tomorrow.
Oh, no. Wherever you're going, I'm coming too.
No, but mademoiselle...
Coming too, and that is that.
Oh, very well, but it will not be amusing. In all probability, nothing will happen.
It was quite dark now, and there was a cool breeze. Poirot set off in the direction of the Villa Geneviève, but when we were passing the Villa Marguerite...
I should like to assure myself that all is well with Jacques Renaud. Come in with me, Hastings. It would be best if Mademoiselle perhaps remained outside. Madame Dobreuil might say something which would wound her.
Do you see the shadow on the blind up there? Mm-hmm. That's Marta Dobreuil, surely.
Then that is where we shall find Jacques Renaud.
He is still very feverish,
But he is sleeping. That is the great thing. Maman made him a tisane.
Is the doctor coming back?
Not unless we send for him.
We will come again in the morning.
Permit me to show you out, monsieur.
I hope we have not troubled you, madame.
Not at all, monsieur. This is a trying time for us all.
At least Monsieur Jacques is in safe hands now.
She will sit by his side all night with her embroidery. She wants nothing more than to be with him.
If you should need us at any time, do not hesitate to telephone us. We shall be at the Hôtel des Bains. Good night, madame.
That didn't take you very long.
I simply needed to see that all was well. You see the shadow? She's still at her post.
Where now?
To the Villa Genevieve.
The villa was in total darkness. Poirot took up a position behind some bushes in the drive where we had a good view of the house. We were almost immediately underneath the window of Madame Renault's bedroom. The window was open.
I do not expect anything to happen for at least an hour.
So what are we supposed to do?
Watch Madame Renault's room. It may be as long as 2 hours. Oh, my God. Oh, God, where is she? That thing comes from her room.
A light's come on the other side of the house. There are two people fighting.
Mi tonnerre. Françoise must have changed her room. Now, quickly, up the tree and through the window.
Take care, Dulcie.
Take care, nothing. This is child's play to me.
Monsieur, the door of the room is locked and bolted. It will take too long to burst it open. Where is Françoise?
Let me try.
No, it is useless. Françoise! Françoise!
You're wasting your energy. I'm the only one who can do anything.
Huh? Where are you going?
I'm going to climb round to the window by the outside.
Be careful, you'll be killed.
No. You forget she is a professional acrobat. Let us pray she's in time.
What's going on?
Why didn't you tell me she changed her room? Where is your mistress?
In the room. This way. But you can't get in. The door's locked and bolted on the inside.
It's all over.
What? She's safe?
I got here just in time.
Thank God you came. I was nearly strangled.
Where is it?
Over there.
Dead?
I think so. That marble fender's got a very sharp edge and it was a very heavy fall. I'm sorry.
Sorry? But for you, I would have been killed.
But who is it? The murderer of Monsieur Renault and the would-be murderer of Madame Renault.
The figure was wrapped in a fold of some dark material. I knelt down and lifted it up and looked into the dead, beautiful face of Marthe Dubreuil.
No, my friend, it was not a dream.
I simply don't understand. Surely it was Bella Duvine who killed Renault.
She said she did, but that was simply to save the man she loved from the guillotine.
But didn't Jacques Renault say that he...
He said they both arrived at the scene at the same moment. Each took the other to be the perpetrator of the crime, but neither of them was the murderer. It was a cold-blooded, premeditated crime which could only have been committed by someone who knew what the Renaults themselves intended to do. And then I remembered what Marthe Dubreuil had told us about seeing the quarrel with the tramp. What if she had seen the tramp's death and not been called away by her mother, as she said? And what if she had heard the conversation between the Renaults which followed?
What possible motive could she have had for killing Renault?
Money. Renault was a millionaire several times over, and at his death, half of that vast fortune would pass to his son. Or that is what Jacques believed, and what Marthe counted on. But Renault stood inexorably in the way of her marriage with Jacques. She knew that he was planning to contrive his own death. She had only to step in at the right moment and turn the farce into grim reality.
But what about the daggers? What about the one that Dulcie stole?
Jacques had 3 daggers made. One he gave to his mother, the second to Bella, and the third to Marthe Dubreuil. That was why I asked your little friend to search among her sister's effects. Bella's dagger was safe at home. It was Martha's dagger that killed Renault, and Madame Renault's dagger that was stuck into the body of the tramp.
And then Marthe realized that she had to kill Madame Renault to prevent her cutting Jack out of her will.
Ah, that was a little contrivance of my own. I persuaded Madame Renault to play that little scene in front of the young couple so that Marthe would be forced out into the open.
What absolutely bewilders me is how she managed to get to the Villa Genevieve before we did.
Oh, that is quite simple. She slipped out of the Villa Marguerite by the back way while we were talking to her mother in the hall.
But the shadow on the blind. We saw it from the road.
Ah, my friend, what an imbecile I was. It was the shadow of her mother. One is old, one is young, but the profiles are exactly alike. But for your little acrobat with her wrists of steel, we would certainly have been too late, and Marthe Dobray would have escaped through the window.
When did you first begin to suspect her? When she told us she had overheard the quarrel in the garden?
My friend, do you remember when we drove into Merlinville that first day? You asked me if I had noticed a young goddess standing at the gate, and I replied that I had seen only a girl with anxious eyes. That is how I have thought of Marthe Dobray from the beginning. The girl with the anxious eyes. Why was she anxious? Not on Jacques Renault's behalf, for she did not know then that he had been in Merlinville the previous evening.
By the way, how is Jacques Renault?
Not much better. But he still knows nothing. He's still at the Villa Marguerite. But Madame Dobray has disappeared. The police are looking for her.
Was she in with her daughter, do you think?
We shall never know. Madame is a lady who can keep her secrets. And I doubt very much if the police will ever find her.
What is your friend Giraud going to say of all this?
He knows already. He has a crisis of the nerves. He has been obliged to return to Paris.
A few days later, Jack Renault came to see us, with a resolute expression on his face.
Monsieur Poirot, I've come to say goodbye. I'm sailing for South America almost immediately. I mean to start a new life out there.
You go alone, Monsieur Jacques?
My mother goes with me. I shall try.
No one else?
What do you mean?
A girl who loves you very dearly, who has been willing to lay down her life for you?
Bella, how could I ask her? After all that's happened, could I go to her?
Women have an infinite capacity for understanding.
Yes, but I've been such a damned fool.
You have a new and wonderful life before you. Ask her to share it with you. You may not realize it, but your love for each other has been tested in the fire and not found wanting. You have both been willing to lay down your lives for each other.
And what, you may ask, became of Captain Arthur Hastings and his little acrobat?
I never knew your name was Arthur.
It's a closely guarded secret. But what am I to call you? It can't be Bella, since it isn't your name, and Dulcie seemed so unfamiliar.
Then you'll have to go on calling me Cinderella.
And you all know how the best fairy tales come to an end.